Thank you to Western Washington Coalition for Life for sponsoring today's broadcast of Life Talk Northwest. Born from prayer and a promise in 2018, the WWCFL's mission is to provide encouragement and support through resources, education, and information focused on embracing the beauty and sanctity of all human life. Engage with WWCFL at wwcfl.org or on Facebook at Western Washington Coalition for Life. Thank you, WWCFL, for supporting Life Talk Northwest.
Welcome to Life Talk Northwest. I'm Dan Kennedy, former CEO of Human Life of Washington. And today we are going to be discussing the Susan B. Anthony List. And as CEO of Human Life several years ago, I worked with the Susan B. Anthony List. We brought them in to do a workshop for pro-life candidates on how to use the pro-life message, how to present it, and how to turn it to your advantage. So we're delighted to speak with Prudence Robertson, who serves as communications associate of the Susan B. Anthony List. In her role, she coordinates interviews with SBA List spokeswomen, in addition to serving as one herself. She has appeared in media across syndicated TV, print, and radio mediums, and has been featured in outlets such as The Washington Times, The Daily Caller, and The Federalist. Prudence successfully planned and executed media events in 10 battleground states throughout the 2018 and 2020 campaign cycles, focused on efforts to confirm Justice Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. Prudence is the chief liaison in SBA List partnership with EWTN's top pro-life news show, EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. And the Susan B. Anthony List can be found online at sbalist.org. And Prudence, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Dan. It's really an honor to be here.
Well, let's talk. Why don't you, for those who, you know, the introduction was very brief. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Susan B. Anthony List and the kinds of things you hope to do?
Absolutely. So Susan B. Anthony List was founded in the early 90s. We were created because we saw Emily's List, which endorses and supports pro-abortion women in Congress. And we realized that there needed to be a pro-life alternative to Emily's List, especially because of the tragedy that abortion is, the way that it harms women, and the lies that the abortion industry tells to women. We wanted to be a beacon of truth in that area of darkness. We wanted to give women an opportunity to be elected to office, both on the state and federal level, to give them a chance to speak into this issue in the unique way that we know women can. And we realized that we needed to become a powerhouse that had the means and the backing to elect these pro-life women and eventually men we began to support to Congress in order to pass pro-life laws, impressing upon these candidates that they have from their to stand for life and to work with us to end the destruction of innocent lives by abortion, which is truly the greatest human rights abuse of our day. And since our founding in the early 90s, we have grown to be a organization of almost of over 900,000 supporters across the country, working with us to elect these members to persuade them to influence public policy so that it might be life-affirming and life-saving. So that's what SBA List is about.
Yeah, you know, Prudence, it was great to see the development of the Susan B. Anthony List as a response to Emily's List, because Emily's List was very, very powerful and had an awful lot of money, and which is, you know, it unfortunately that's part of politics. It takes money to get elected, and you know, so Susan B. Anthony List needs to be supported. Of course, people can donate. You want to tell us about donations and.
Yes, absolutely. You can go to sbalist.org to learn how you can donate and get in touch with our team. And I could not agree with you more that this, if you're looking for a cause to support, this one is I'm biased, but I think perhaps the worthiest cause to end abortion in our nation would be, an advancement in our society as a whole. And we were blessed. I mean, Susan B. Anthony List, we have grown exponentially since our founding, and that just goes to show that we are on the side of truth. We were blessed to be able to spend $52 million in the 2020 campaign cycle, and that is leaps and bounds from what I think our founders ever could have imagined. But we do encourage you to learn more about us, to get involved if this is something that's close to your heart. Again, you can go to sbalist.org to learn more about just how to do that.
Yeah, and I've been impressed over the years with the success rate that the Susan B. Anthony List has, even in extremely difficult times. They have really they choose their candidates carefully, and it was great to see. I know I ran into Marjorie Dansforth. I think the first time I met her was at the White House in 2004 when we were both there for Bush signing of Connor's Law, sometimes called Connor's and Lacey's Law, the Unborn Victims of Violence Act. And, I am just so impressed with the Susan B. Anthony List. And they really make a difference in – now, you focus mostly on federal races, correct? But have you expanded to – on occasion to some state races, or?
Yes. In the past, we were originally just federally focused, but due to our growth, we've been able to get involved in a lot of statewide races, actually, in recent election cycles. We plan to endorse quite a few Republican governors leading into 2022 that have been doing a fantastic job promoting legislation in the state. We've also been able to get involved in statewide elections, for example, like attorney general races. We were able to endorse Attorney General Lynn Fitch when she first ran for attorney general in Mississippi, and she was the woman who argued to defend Mississippi's pro-life law before the Supreme Court just last week. In the Dobbs case, that's right. We endorsed her when she became the first woman elected in Mississippi to that role. So we're really proud and honored of the gains we've been able to make, not just on the federal level, but also in the states, because that ultimately is where we want this battle to be, in the states, right? Hopefully, if Dobbs goes our way, states will be the ones charged with the duty to pass pro-life laws, and their handcuffs will be removed if the federal mandate on abortion that we're looking at with Roe versus Wade, if that should be overturned, we're looking at a dawn in our nation where we're going to need to take action in the states more than ever before.
Yeah, that's going to be critical, because the Roe decision was not a constitutional decision. It was a policy decision. And as even those who support abortion, the constitutional scholars who support abortion admit, and the Supreme Court in that decision usurped the legislative process of every state in the country. And so, if Roe is overturned, and we hope it is, it simply will go back to the states to handle. And that's why, as you said, it is critical that we pay attention, because the times, they are changing, hopefully.
Yes, we're very hopeful that they are. I mean, during the oral arguments last week, the justices pointed to updates in science and technology and asking their questions about, why should abortion law be updated? Is it really time for that? And Susan B. Anthony List would argue, of course, yes, because of updates in sonogram technology and what we know about fetal pain in the womb, for example. We've been given a glimpse into the womb in a way that we never have before, that really just all signs point towards we have to end the abortion extremism that is the reality of our nation today. It's far past time that our laws be modernized.
Yeah, Roe was kind of a Stone Age decision. In fact, it was a Stone Age decision at the time. We knew in the 1800s that a new human being existed at conception. You know, science was already 100 and some years ahead of the Supreme Court. So it is, you know, politics is not a pleasant business, but it is necessary because if you ignore it, it doesn't ignore you. And and we pay the price. And, you know, in Washington State, certainly, this is, when it comes to pro-life, this is really missionary territory and has been. You know, we are such a secular state. And, you know, we have already passed, if Roe were to be overturned tomorrow, nothing would change in Washington State because the state voted itself. The people of Washington State voted itself to enact those the abortion as it stands now into law. So, you know, we'd have to work on that, and obviously we would. But but there are other states that have been enjoined by the courts that would certainly, you know, now it could be relitigated to say, you know, Supreme Court has overturned Roe. It's about time we allow these pro-life laws to go forward. And again, you know, it's funny. You talk about the Attorney General in Mississippi. It's isn't it interesting that you, as pro-life, you support that person for Attorney General, and that person is responsible, perhaps, for the overturning of Roe v. Wade. So it's really quite a significant outcome and quite a significant success on behalf of all those who worked for that Attorney General's campaign, including the Susan B. Anthony list.
Yes, the ripple effect is really amazing and it's quite remarkable, and it has resulted. I mean, I think one thing that's interesting about this case, one of the ones that people were really looking at for the court to take up, it came as a surprise even to us in the pro-life movement that they decided to really, you know, take up this law, which is a limit, a pre-viability limit on abortion at 15 weeks. By doing that, they're really taking the question of Roe head on. And it's hard to imagine that there will be, you know, a half or a compromise on this. Because the justices have chosen to answer simply one question, are pre-viability limits on abortion constitutional? That's what Roe is based on. That's what Roe is centered on. And so, you know, if they were to say, yes, this is a constitutional law, let's allow it to remain in place, Roe topples. And what a joyous moment that would be if we really are embarking on a post-Roe world.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that as a possibility. We are coming up against a break. I am speaking with Prudence Robertson, who serves as Communication Associate for the Susan B. Anthony List. And we'll be right back. Thank you for listening to Life Talk Northwest.
Loving God, please grant me peace of mind and calm my troubled heart. Give me the strength and clarity of mind to find my purpose and walk the path you've laid out for me. I trust your love, God, and know that you will heal this stress, just as the sun rises each day against the dark of night. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Welcome back to Life Talk Northwest. I'm Dan Kennedy, your host, and we're speaking with Prudence Robertson from the Susan B. Anthony List. And Prudence, I did notice that before we get to what a post-Roe world might look like, you know, I found it kind of very revealing that in the oral arguments before the Supreme Court on the Dobbs case, that the pro-abortion side was arguing policy and social consequences and never argued the law, never argued the Constitution. Any law they argued about was in reference to policy and that sort of thing. And it just shows that there's no constitutional basis in the first place for Roe. So, you know, that's proof itself, I think.
I could not agree more. And, you know, as you were saying a bit earlier on the show, even people who proclaim to be pro-abortion in the legal world have admitted that very fact, that the right to abortion, the so-called right to abortion that was undemocratically founded by 7 unelected men on the court, is just arbitrary. Even Roe's author, Harry Blackmun, eventually admitted that, calling the viability rule arbitrary. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself, who many on the pro-abortion side look to as a model,
said that
Roe versus Wade was a sloppy decision. And we know that to be true.
Sure. Yeah, that's another thing. Before we get to the post-Roe world, let's talk about, you know, the Dobbs case before the Supreme Court really, you know, took up a lot of news time and a lot of fanfare. What is the abortion industry's response to the Dobbs case? What are they, you know, because they're great fear mongers.
What's their response? Yeah. I mean, they're trying to convince the entire country right now that we are on the brink of women's rights being destroyed, that women are going to seek out back alley abortions, put themselves in danger to obtain an abortion, that women are going to have to travel miles and miles to obtain an abortion if they live in a pro-life state. But the reality here is that every time a woman walks into an abortion clinic or chooses to take an abortion pill, she is placing herself in severe and immediate danger. That's just a fact. And we are doing everything we can to cut through this media bias that we're seeing in the mainstream media to say, hey, you are lying about the reality of this situation. You are denying the rights of, you know, millions of children that are intended for this world in the name of a so-called right to abortion that just doesn't exist.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is they bring up this back alley abortion. Well, if you look back at the statistics, first of all, there really was no such thing as a back alley abortion. Abortions were done by doctors in their offices after hours illegally. And the number of deaths, as Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who was, you know, founder of NARAL and before he became pro-life, said, the number of deaths that we talked about, we just pulled out of thin air. We just made it up. And the weird thing was the media never challenged our numbers. They just swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. The actual statistics are, I think, less than 20 deaths before Roe v. Wade in a year. So, you know, the coat hanger and back alley abortion argument is just, it's a lie, as you said.
Right. Yes, that's exactly right.
So they are now trying to convince everybody that, you know, women's rights are going to be denied. You know, there is a one could have a debate about, you know, does the women's rights override the child's rights? You know, if there's a battle of rights, is this the venue for it, kind of thing, you know? But we have two human beings here.
Right. And I would just say, you know, our namesake, Susan B. Anthony, was an ally of Alice Paul and other suffragettes early on in the suffragist movement. And they said that the rights of one can never be built on the broken rights of another. And when we're looking at these two lives, the woman and the child, a woman's hopes and dreams should never have to come at the expense of her child's life. And the pro-life movement is really ready to embrace both mother and child and help them realize that reality.
Yeah, the suffragettes were pro-life.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's where we get our namesake. And we thought that was quite fitting as when we were first founded, you know, we were solely focused on electing women to Congress, pro-life women. Due to our success, we've been able to start endorsing men now, and there are a lot of strong pro-life men serving in Congress. But we do find our roots with those pro-life suffragettes. We look to them.
Yeah, women got the right to vote from pro-life women.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
Okay, let's talk about an issue again. We are. I just saw the other day there is has been a slight increase now in abortion, and it's probably related to chemical abortions. Chemical abortions have become quite fashionable, I guess.
Yes. Yes, chemical abortion, I mean, the important thing to realize here, I think, is that the Biden administration, since they have taken office, have done everything they can to remove any and all restrictions on these chemical abortion pills. And they know that we're looking at a potential good decision in the Dobbs case, which could result in a lot of brick-and-mortar abortion facilities closing down. So they view chemical abortion as the new way to make the most profit that they can to succeed in getting as many abortions permitted as they can, and really just opening the door for every post office and pharmacy to become an abortion center. It's really quite frightening what we're looking at here.
Well, it is. And for those who have experienced a chemical abortion, it is a terrible, terrible, painful kind of thing. Fortunately, we are able to reverse that process if it's caught soon enough. But if you talk to women who have gone through it, they just say, never again, just never
again. Yeah, and I could speak to some of the side effects of that.
Severe
and heavy bleeding, the potential for incomplete abortion. A new study just came out from our research arm, the Charlotte Lozier Institute, showing that the rate of hospital emergency room visits after chemical abortions has risen by 500% in recent years. And that is just the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, could you state that again?
Absolutely. So the rate of in-person emergency room hospital visits as a result of taking the abortion pill has skyrocketed to an increase in 500% in recent years. And that is, the proof is in the pudding that this is perhaps the most dangerous method of abortion out there.
The proof is in the pudding. And I think now that you mentioned the Charlotte Lozier Institute, I think it was Michael New who sent me the email saying who is at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and teaches at Catholic University of America, sent me
That's
an email
right.
about the study that or that he was just looking through and he likes to keep me up to date, which I'm grateful for.
Fantastic. He keeps us up to date, too. A great researcher.
Well, and, the Charlotte Lozier Institute was a counter to the Guttmacher Institute.
That's exactly right.
So, we're all set on our side. And we have the truth on our side. Speaking of Catholic University of America and Catholic universities, in fact, you attended Franciscan University in Steubenville,
That's
correct?
Right.
Is that where you got all fired up about pro-life, or were you fired up before you got there?
Well, I have been pro-life my whole life. I actually have a sister who is adopted from Vietnam, and my family's adoption story and just the courage of my sister Mia's birth mom in choosing life and giving her an opportunity to be a part of our family. She's an irreplaceable part of our family now. I can't imagine life without her. That was probably my first motivation for being pro-life, but it was truly such a blessing to go to a place like Franciscan University for my undergrad, just to be affirmed in that pro-life position, to constantly be able to pray for the unborn, to attend the March for Life every year with my peers. to pray at the abortion clinic in Pittsburgh with other Franciscan University students and prayerfully sidewalk counsel women. Surely my pro-life beliefs were solidified there and only strengthened.
That's terrific. Well, we have a little less than a minute. Prudence, it has been a delight to have you here. Why don't you tell us again, because Susan B. Anthony List, the pro-life community, the pro-life candidates all need your help, and you can do that in one central location, and that's at the Susan B. Anthony List. And you need to get involved. This is the time to do it. Why don't you give us the information on how they do that again?
Absolutely. You can get involved at sbalist.org. You can find all the information there about donating or becoming a member of Susan B. Anthony List. And if you'd like to learn more about the Dobbs versus Jackson case in specifically, you can go to modernizeourlaw.com.
Great. Prudence, it has been a delight. We're going to have you back. I relied on the Susan B. Anthony List for many years at Human Life. You've never let me down. You didn't let me down now. So thank you, Prudence.
Thank you so much, Dan. All my best to you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. And thank you to our listeners. Remember, you are in our prayers. This has been Life Talk Northwest. God bless.
Thank you to Western Washington Coalition for Life for sponsoring today's broadcast of Life Talk Northwest. Born from prayer and a promise in 2018, the WWCFL's mission is to provide encouragement and support through resources, education, and information focused on embracing the beauty and sanctity of all human life. Engage with WWCFL at wwcfl.org or on Facebook at Western Washington Coalition for Life. Thank you, WWCFL, for supporting Life Talk Northwest.